Please turn in your scriptures to Psalm 107. We'll be reading the entire psalm together. And as you are able, please rise for the reading of God's holy word. Thanksgiving to the Lord for his great works of deliverance. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the ships and to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into wilderness and water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low, through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets on the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Every believer faces a time and period of difficulty, could be for many reasons, whether it be at the hands of another or because of our own doing, the circumstances, death of a loved one, loss of ability, loss of a job, rejection, difficulties in the church, at work, at home. Christians may be tempted to despair because it often seems that they go through this alone. Have you faced such difficult times? Have you reflected on those times? What made it difficult? What would you have done differently? What good and benefit do you see having arisen out of it? Do you see the possibility that good can come out of it? It can often be difficult to see any good in the difficulties you face, can't it? The psalmist wants you to see that you are not alone, that God is showing his goodness and his kindness to you. Our text calls believers to consider the loving kindness of God in the middle of difficulties in order to encourage and strengthen you in the midst of trials and life's hard circumstances. We're looking at Psalm 107. Psalm 107 is the first psalm in the fifth division or the fifth book of the book of Psalms. It's the opening salvo in that very last book that the writers of Psalms have compiled together. The book of Psalms is written by eight different authors over a lengthy period of time. And it is a psalm, or they are psalms that reflect human emotions, human struggles, human joys. If we look at the five books, the smaller divisions of the book of Psalms, they can be divided and titled, subtitled in this way. Book 1, confrontation. Book 2, communication. Book 3, devastation. Book 4, maturation. And book 5, consummation. And it is that last book, consummation, the bringing together of all things at the end of time, that this psalm opens up before us. The Psalms want you and me to focus upon the Messiah that is to come, the hope that you have in God's promised Messiah that is yet to come, of whom King David, who is a major author, one of the major authors of the book of Psalms, is a picture and a portrait of. In this psalm, Psalm 107 follows Psalm 106. And Psalm 106 begins the same way that Psalm 107 begins. In that psalm, you read, "Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." That's at the close of book 4, which is the idea of maturation, where the society, the people of God, have matured. And as they have come to maturity, they can give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Psalm 106 recounts the work of God in the history of Israel as it relates them coming out of the land of Egypt and as God brings them into the promised land. Psalm 107 focuses the eyes of the believer no longer on the works that God has done, but on the loving kindness of God in all of the circumstances. And he directs the believer and the reader to thank God for it, to thank God for even the difficulties, the hard providences that they face. I want to show you by God's grace that you are to give thanks to God for his loving kindness and mighty works. You are called to give thanks for God's loving kindness. You are called to see God, the works of God's loving kindness. And you are called to comprehend or understand God's loving kindness. First of all, giving thanks for God's loving kindness. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hands of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south." Believers are called to praise God who has redeemed them, from his people, from the nations. Notice how the psalm begins. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." This is a command. It's not something that is optional. To give thanks or to be thankful is to be content and to be happy with what God has given you and thereby express gratitude to God for that. To give thanks is to be aware of and appreciative of a benefit of something good that God has given to you. And the psalm begins, "Give thanks to the Lord." It's easier said than done, isn't it? Especially when we face difficulties and trials and struggles. To give thanks is not something that we would want necessarily to do when we're down and sad and lonely. As I think the one hymn says, when we're under a burden, a load of care. Yet to give thanks is the mark of a believer, is the mark of a Christian. That a Christian can look beyond the here and now, beyond the difficulties, and look ahead and thank God for his constant watch and care over them. And notice what he says. He says, give thanks to the Lord, to the God of gods, to the one who has made all things, to the one who rules all things. And the psalmist gives you two reasons why you are to thank the Lord. You are to thank the Lord for the character of God. He says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Good refers to God's moral character, his excellence, his uprightness, what is right. Remember, when we confess what is God, we say that God is infinite, eternal, unchangeable, in his being wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Good is who God is. It's not something that God does. He is good. And the psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good, and he does what is good. Do you believe that? Do you believe that even in the middle of difficulty and trial and struggle? That's something that, quite frankly, sometimes is very hard to see, isn't it? To see God's goodness when everything just appears to be black and difficult and rainy and no light at the end of the tunnel whatsoever. And the psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. But notice the second reason that he gives. He gives for his mercy endures forever. The second reason to thank God is not only that he is good, but for his mercy. That word there, mercy, is the word that is often translated for God's covenant faithfulness. I love the translation, God's loving kindness. You are to give thanks to God for his loving kindness, the goodness or the love of God shown to those who are in misery, irrespective of what they deserve. That's the mercy of God. I remember very early on when I was candidating, I don't remember, I gave the following description of what mercy and grace was. And after the service, someone came up to me and said, don't forget about God's justice. Because this begins with God's justice. What is justice? Justice is receiving what we do deserve. Children, sometimes your parents discipline you, right? Are they disciplining you just because they feel like disciplining you? I know sometimes it might seem that way. But our parents don't discipline us because they feel like disciplining us. They discipline us because we've done something wrong. You've all experienced that, haven't you? Being disciplined by your parents. And when you think about it, and you get past all of the emotion of it, you sit back and maybe you have, maybe you haven't. You sit back and you think, you know what? I deserve that because I did what was wrong. That's what justice is. But God's justice is perfect. God will execute upon sinners that which they deserve. His eternal wrath and condemnation. And if that is all that God is, then we would have no hope. There would be no comfort, no strength. But God is not only just. The scripture says that he is merciful. And that's what the psalmist wants to remind you of. For his mercy endures forever. God's mercy is not receiving what we do deserve. Children, have you ever done something you know that your parents should have punished you for? And they didn't. Instead of disciplining you, they take you on their lap and they give you a hug and they say, we love you. That's mercy. But God is also gracious, giving to you and to me what we do not deserve. God gives to his people his love. God gave to his people his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful to his promises. He'll do what he says. He keeps his word. This is the God to whom the psalmist says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And you'll see that refrain, oh, give thanks, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, over and over and over again in this psalm. For the psalmist wants you to focus upon God, upon his goodness, upon his mercy, upon what he has done for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, whatever happens to you in this life, is an expression of God's goodness and care for his fallen creation. It's kind of hard to understand, isn't it, when we live in a world that suffers under the curse of sin. Accidents and strife and all kinds of difficulties are there. And yet, the Lord uses these things. Remember what he says in Romans, God directs all things for his glory, for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Why? Because God is good. God is full of mercy. God loves his people. And to whom is this command given to give thanks? He says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who are the redeemed of the Lord? The redeemed of the Lord are those whom God has bought back, whom he has purchased, taken ownership of again, as it were, whom he has bought back from the hand of the enemy. And the redeemed are those whom God has bought back with the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The redeemed are all who believe in God and trust in him. And notice where the redeemed come from. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered from out of the lands, from the east and from the west and the north and the south. You remember that the Israelites, they were scattered throughout Babylon and Assyria. They were sent into exile. And God promised that he would bring them back again into the promised land, which he did when Cyrus was king of the Medes and the Persians. And he sent them back and into that land. They were sent into exile because of their sin, because of their rebellion against God. But God says, I'm going to redeem them. I'm going to bring them back. I'm going to buy them back. Brothers and sisters, the church is the redeemed of the Lord. You know, there's not two separate groups of people, the people of Israel in the Old Testament and the church in the New Testament. The church is not some accident that is plan B because Jesus died on the cross, plan A failing. There is one people of God. Those who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, those whom he bought back from the hand of Satan, as it were, and brought into his kingdom. And the psalmist says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let them declare it. Let them make it known. Brothers and sisters, believers speak of what God has done for them. Are you able to speak of the things that God has done for you? When you think about your life and your activity, the difficulties that you've faced and how you first met with the Lord, can you speak to others about what God has done? The psalmist says, give thanks to the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Speak it, declare it to those who are around you. You see, God's loving kindness is most clearly seen in calling to himself a people for his own, the church. They are the redeemed. You see, you are to give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his mighty works. You are called to see the mighty works of God. From verse 4 through verse 42, the psalmist gives four pictures of the redeemed and then an explanation. And notice the first picture of the redeemed that he gives. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted. They cried out to the Lord. He delivered them out of their distress. He led them forth that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. You are to see God's loving kindness to wanderers. That's the first picture, to wanderers. Who are these wanderers? They are the people of Israel. Remember, Psalm 106 speaks of the 40 years of wandering in Mount Sinai, wandering in the desert after having been set free from the land of Egypt. And as they were wandering in the wilderness, they had no place to dwell. They were hungry and thirsty. They had no food. The water was bitter at Marah. And they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord gave them water from a rock, and he gave them bread from the dew. In the manna. He provided quail enough for them to eat. These are all acts, works of God's goodness, of his loving kindness that he has shown to them. And so they cry out for deliverance. They are at their wit's end. And they cry out to the Lord, "We need you. We need to be supplied by you." And what was God's response? He delivered them from distress. He showed them the way that they are to go. He provided a city for them, a dwelling place. Ultimately, that dwelling place is in heaven. The place where our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has gone. His Father's house, there are many mansions, and he goes to prepare a place for the people of God. You see, when people cry to God, he responds with his mercy and loving kindness. And then notice the command to give thanks and give praise. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. They are commanded to give thanks, for the Lord satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. The one who has great need, the Lord provides for. The second picture is God's loving kindness shown to the rebellious and afflicted. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons. Why? Because they rebelled against the Lord. Who are the ones that God shows his loving kindness? Those who sat in darkness. Those who are under the shadow of death. Those who are bound in affliction and in irons. You right away get a picture of like maybe handcuffs or these leg cuffs where you can't walk, but you got these chains between your feet. You're not able to move to do what you want. But why are they in darkness and under the shadow of death and bound in affliction and irons? Because, the psalmist says, they rebelled against the words of God. They rebelled against God's words, against what he required of them, what he commanded them to do. And the result was that they labored in vain. They despised the counsel of the Most High. He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down and there was none to help. Have you ever tried to climb an extension ladder? If you climb an extension ladder, it's not that big a deal, is it? You just rung to rung to rung, you go up. Have you ever tried to climb an extension ladder made out of water? Do you think you're going to get very far? Do you think that if you had an extension ladder made out of water in the bottom of the ocean, you're trying to climb out of the bottom of the ocean to the top of the surface, that you're going to be able to do it? You can try as much as you want to climb that ladder. It's going to be useless. You're going to be laboring in vain. Those who sat in darkness because of their rebellion against God, their labor is in vain. It's a worthless effort. It's a wasted effort. But they fell down, and there was none to help. There was no one to reach down and pick them up. Notice what they do. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. Once again, they cried to the Lord for deliverance. And what did he do? He delivered them from their distress. He cried out in their trouble and saved them of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. What are those chains? Those chains are the chains of sin, the chains of rebellion against God, the chains of, I can do it myself, I don't need God. They cried out to God when they were in desperate straits, when they were in distress, and God heard them and answered them and broke their chains. When men cry to God, he responds in mercy and loving kindness. And notice the command, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Why are you to give thanks? Because God delivers men from their bondage. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what that means, don't you? You know what those chains of sin were that bound you in darkness and despair. God has broken them in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has shone a light, the light of his glory in your eyes, so that you can behold the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For you see, in Christ, you see the love and kindness of God. But there are those who are in despair. They are in bonds of chains even now, of hopelessness, atheism, Islam, other false religions. They continue to bind men and bind women, and they need the hope of the gospel. They need the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The third picture that the psalmist displays for you is God's loving kindness to the foolish or to the unbeliever. Those who are afflicted, fools, he says, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. They drew near the gates of death. When I read those two verses, I think of the people of Israel as they're wandering through the wilderness. What did God say to Moses at one time? Get out of the way, Moses. I'm going to destroy this people. I'm going to make a great nation out of you. And Moses prayed, Lord, don't do that. What will the nation say of your great name? Who were the fools? They were those who died in the wilderness because of their sin, because of their rebellion against God, because of their iniquities. They were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. They drew near to the gates of death. They made fun of the manna, as we saw this morning. They drew near to the gates of death because of their sin and because of their transgression. But they were brought to their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their distress, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Notice once again, they cry out to the Lord for deliverance, and the Lord hears them and he responds to them. He heals them and he delivers them from destruction. Those on the path of sin are on their way to hell and everlasting destruction. But when they cry out to God in distress, then he saves them and plants their feet firmly on the road to heaven. And again, you have that command. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Are you beginning to see what the psalmist is getting you to do? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Reflect upon the way God has dealt with you and the way God continues to deal with you through the difficulties and the trials. And every time it comes back to this, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. The fourth picture is of God's loving kindness is for those on the sea. Now, it might be kind of hard to imagine what the sea is like for those who live here in the middle of the country. The big waves on Lake Copan or something like that, not all that big. You go to the Gulf of Mexico or to the Atlantic or Pacific Ocean, and then you begin to see the waves. You can hear the waves pounding upon the shores, and you can hear that roar and that thunder as the waves come crashing against the shore. But the psalmist here is writing to those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters. Why is he talking about them? He's speaking about them, those who are going about their daily business, those who work on the sea. It's a representative of all who work. But those who are on the sea most clearly see the work of God in creation. They see the power of God as the waves pound the ship, as the waves crest and as it comes over, washes over the deck in the middle of a storm, as they see the winds blow. They experience firsthand the power of God. For there's no solid ground upon which they can stand. I mean, yesterday it was really windy here, wasn't it? The wind was blowing. And did you have to worry about the earth giving way underneath you? But in the sea, you do. There's nothing stable about it. It's a time of turmoil and difficulty. And those who go down to the sea, they go about their daily business. They see the works of the Lord, his wonders in the deep. He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the sea of the wave. They mount up to the heavens. I've heard of like 21-foot waves. That might be even small for some of the waves in the North Pacific. 40-foot waves, what? Just the waves that go up to heaven. And they go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man because the ship underneath them is not stable, being tossed and turned. And they cry out to the Lord in the middle of the storm in their distress, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Does it remind you of something? Remember when Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee? And those waves came and they were swamping the boat? Now, if you've ever been to the Sea of Galilee, it's not that big. And you think, wow, what were the disciples afraid of? Let me tell you, when the winds blow across the Sea of Galilee, the waves toss the ships, the boats, up and down. It's scary. Now imagine that in the ocean. Pancake flat. Because the Lord stills the waves. He brings them out of their distresses. Brothers and sisters, the Lord does that for you. He can calm your heart through the storms of life in the middle of the distresses in which you are faced. And here you have that command again. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly and praise him in the company of the elders. These four pictures are to bring you to worship, to the point of worshiping God with his people. To remind you that you are not powerful, that God is all powerful, that though the world seems to be falling apart, God has it all in control. And in ways that you and I have no idea how he's going to work out his purposes. Have no idea how he's going to answer your prayers. And just when you think, well, I prayed that prayer, it was useless. There's no way that God's going to answer that prayer now. He does. In a way that is marvelous beyond all imagination. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to men, that they would worship him and praise him in the assembly of the people and in the company of the elders. But notice God's sovereign power and justice. He turns the rivers into wilderness. And notice what the psalmist does here in these 33 to 38. He takes that which is fruitful and makes it barren. And he takes that which is barren and makes it fruitful. He turns rivers into wilderness and water springs into dry ground. Fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. I've heard that it is said that places like Ethiopia, which have been racked with all sorts of wars and trials, were at one time a very fruitful place to be. But because of the wars, because of the wickedness of those who dwelt in it, you can't grow anything there anymore. What about the land of Israel? How was the land of Israel described? As a land flowing with milk and honey. You go there today, I don't see too much milk flowing and honey. It was there. It was a fruitful place to be. But the Lord's going to take such places and turn them into barren places because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it. But notice the contrast. He turns the wilderness into pools of water. That which was dry and dusty has now become a swimming pool, as it were, a pool of water, a place where you can get water to satisfy yourself. And he turns dry lands into water springs. Not just a puddle of water after a rain, but a spring of water bubbling out of the ground. He turns it into water springs. And there he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place. And sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He blesses them and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. You see, the Lord blesses his people, those who look to him, those who observe his loving kindness and his tender mercy. Those who are proud and haughty, he humbles. Those who were humbled and weak, he exalts. And he provides for their every needs. The Lord has provided for your needs, hasn't he? He's given you everything that you need day by day. Maybe not what you need, when you need it, the way you need it, as quickly as you think you need it. But you have everything you need. The Lord has given it to you. He protects his people. Yes, he protects his people even in prison. Even when they are persecuted for righteousness' sake. When they are diminished and brought low, through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on the princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction. Does this mean that you will not suffer affliction in this life? No. We live in a world that is sin-cursed. We live with the consequences of sin every day. But the Lord promises to set the poor on high. Those who recognize their need to come to him. The Lord makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. When you stop and think about what God has done, you give thanks to the Lord. You rejoice. You're filled with joy. And the psalmist says, all iniquity, all sin stops its mouth. Those who speak ill of God, it's as if a piece of duct tape was thrown over their mouth and they cannot speak anymore because they see the goodness of God. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his kindness among the children of men. You see, believers are called to comprehend God's loving kindness. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The redeemed of the Lord will stop and consider and understand just exactly what it is that God has done, his loving kindness and his faithfulness. Notice he says that he who is wise will observe these things. The redeemed pay attention to these things, reflect on the things. Brothers and sisters, the psalmist is calling you to reflect on events in your life to see more clearly how God is working. If you don't ever think about these things, you'll never, perhaps won't, or can't see God working in you and through you. He who is wise will observe, will look for these things, will look for the goodness of God in the middle of trial and difficulty. Doesn't make it easier, but you will see the hand of God going with you. And they will understand. What will they understand? The loving kindness of God. They will understand the depths of God's love for his children in the midst of trial and difficulty. For he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to endure the eternity of his wrath against sin, in order that he might extend grace to you and to me in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, be diligent to observe God at work in all the events you experience in your life, and give him thanks and praise for it. For you are called to give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and his mighty works. These events that you face, that you endure, are given to you in order that you might be conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might become more godly, that you might rest more firmly upon the promises of God. And in the midst of these difficulties, you will be given the strength to carry on. But if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, then these difficulties are meant to cause you to stop, think, repent, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you must look. You must recognize your own weakness and your own sin. The believer is constantly reflecting on God's loving kindness in their lives. Do you reflect on them? Are you moved to give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness, for his tender mercy, which he has shown to you in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? How has God been working in your life? The psalmist calls you to give thanks for God's work. He calls you to reflect on his work. He calls you to trust in his work, even through the difficulties when you can't see. And remember this, Satan doesn't want you to see God's goodness. Satan only wants you to see the difficulty and the hardship and the trial and the loneliness and the misery right now. He wants to keep you navel-gazing. He wants to keep you blind. He doesn't want you to understand the loving kindness of God. He whispers in your ear, God doesn't care for you. That's all he wants you to see. That's all he wants you to know. He wants you to blindly enter into hell, blind to God's loving kindness as expressed through his warnings, as expressed through his works, as expressed through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the devil wants to destroy you. Is it easy? Never. Never is it easy in this life. The gospel is not a health and wealth gospel, a name it and claim it gospel. Sin and its ravages will destroy you if you are not firmly grounded in Christ Jesus. This is the gospel. Turn to Jesus. And only by the strength of the Holy Spirit at work in you will you be able to face the difficulties and to see beyond the difficulties and see the glory of God's work in your life. Think about those difficulties you faced and experiencing and have experienced. Can you see God's loving kindness in it? If you can, rejoice. Thank God for these difficult experiences. If you can't, the first question is, are you looking? Are you looking for God's loving kindness and for His mercy? If you are looking but can't see, start looking to God instead of the trial. And you'll be surprised to see how He has been working. But if you won't look, these events warn you that one day you will face, if you do not face Jesus in repentance, then you will face Jesus in His judgment. God's loving kindness is that everyone who believes in Jesus will be saved. Are you looking? Can you see God working in your life and in your heart? Are you just beginning to get a glimpse of it? Give thanks to the Lord. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Amen.